been so wonderful. You have started wonderful, and I know I read the end of this book, you're going to end wonderful. Right? That's right. We end big. We end winners. But Father, today we gather, and Father, with hearts, we say our hearts are open. Everybody say, my heart is open to hear from God, to be empowered by Him, to be changed by Him. And I'm going to suck it up today in Jesus' name. You don't have to say that. You get to the bottom of that cup of soda with a straw. You hear, I'm going to suck it all up, okay? And then I'm going to jiggle the ice, okay? I'm going to be sucking it up until Jesus returns. There is so much greater and greater and greater. And I look at you and I see greatness in you. So I'm going to see it. I'm going to watch you suck it up and go bigger and higher. Amen? She is a cheerleader, I can just tell. Yes, I am. Here we go. Okay, we finished up. I could not believe I did it. 7 weeks on the subject of grace, and I probably had 7 more lessons, and I was getting bored. No, I wasn't. Okay, so we finished up a series on grace, grace for the race. So I hung up my sneakers. I had to dig around for a pair of shoes that match. Sneakers are just so cool, all right? So the new series we're going to start is on the subject of faith. Hit it. All right. Now, if you've been a part of YCF from the beginning days, I think we've covered the topic of faith. Yes? Yes, okay. If you're new, we've slided in messages, the topic of faith. Yes? Yes, we do. I know, I do, all right? But I haven't done a series, really. I haven't done a series. So we're going to do a series and just dig into it. For some of you, you've been here for a while. This is the refresher course. How many of you have had to take a refresher course? I used to have to take the CPR refresher course, and I could never imagine every time I get there, I'm going, oh, I forgot that. Well, it's good to take a refresher course in CPR. You might need to know how to do it, okay? So for some of you, this is a refresher course. If you're new here, this is just an introduction. We're going to throw you in the pool and watch you swim, okay? So it'll be fun. Everybody say, faith is fun. Amen. Amen. So, how many of you like to bake? Okay, I love to bake. Mostly I like to eat what I bake, and I'm really trying to get a balance on that. Some days we win, some days we don't. But about a year ago, someone gave me, or I was online or something, I found this neat recipe for chewy cookies. I like chewy cookies, especially oatmeal, raisin with macadamia nuts. Found this great recipe. Only problem, it was in metrics. And I think it was calling for, I had wrote it down, it was like 5 millimeters of salt. I was like, what? And then it was 14 grams of butter. I was like, what the heck? Okay, so Google, everybody say Google. What's this mean? Okay, so what we have is a differing operating system. That's the... It's actually the international system is metric, all right? And there's only 3 countries that haven't jumped on the boat yet. Burma, Libya, Liberia or Libya? Liberia, excuse me. And the great U.S. of A. We're the only ones that haven't done it, okay? But it was really interesting. That system, baking, was not compatible with my teaspoons. It was not going to end up good, right? So I'm trying to translate all this and change it, and I just said, phooey, I'll Google some other recipe, okay? But here's why I say all of that. All of you at one time operated in a system. Everybody say system. Okay, then the day you received Jesus Christ, you got placed into a different system, right? How many of you know that, right? You sure you know that? Okay, all right. But so before I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I was operating in this, I'm going to call it metric because I'm the great USA and we think ours is always better, okay? So I was operating in this system. Well, the day I accepted and received the Lord Jesus Christ, He downloaded a new system into me. Anybody get downloaded into? All right. Now, this system, the one that the USA uses in the old system here, they're not compatible. All right? It's sort of like Mac and Windows. In the beginning days, they were, how many of you know, they were not compatible. They had problems all over the board, all right? They're not compatible. But, so you all know that. But the funny thing about it is sometimes there's many people, not us, it's the church down the street, that are still operating in the old system. We're still operating in the old system. Yet you've got downloaded by God in a new system, but you're still operating in the old system and you got some things that aren't working. Okay, now, this new system that we have operates by faith. Everybody say faith. Okay, the new system that's downloaded into you is about faith. It operates by faith. The operating system is faith, all right? Now, the old system, if you were in the old system, if you were not a child of God, you are still living in the kingdom of darkness, that system operates all the time, hands down, 100% by fear. It is motivated all by fear. And I don't like fear. Man, sometimes I get a whiff of that and I'm like, So I like this new system. It's not about fear. This new system is about faith. All right. So today we're gonna chew on faith for a couple of weeks here. All right. So everybody say the new system in me is faith. Okay. Now, it's very interesting. The disciples went up to Jesus one time and they asked him this question and I don't know if it's a question. It was like, I want. Jesus, give me more faith. Anybody read that in your Bible stories? They came up, the disciples said, Jesus, give me more faith. Give me more faith or increase my faith. You cannot sing to have more faith. You cannot pray and beg and cry and fast to have more faith. It's nowhere in the Bible. Anybody know a scripture in the Bible that tells you about? Can't do it. Okay, it doesn't work that way. Because the kingdom that we now live in operates by faith. All right. So we're going to talk about how faith comes, how it works in your life, what it is, and how you actually release it. That's at the end of this, okay? All righty. So everybody say faith. All righty. So we're going to be doing this. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss any of these. Pastor D, I don't want to miss any of these. I'll be here every week. Right? Amen. All right. Now, if you were to ask me a question like, once I've received Jesus Christ, once I've been saved, I've asked Jesus to be Lord of my life, what are the three most important topics I should know? Almost. Okay. Because I get to write the whole story here. Okay, first thing, after you've received Jesus, you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus says, I'm out of here and I'm giving you something better, don't you think it's good to have a relationship with the better? Yeah, it's vital. Okay, so if you were to ask me what are the three most important things after, in my opinion, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, okay? Second thing is you need to understand grace. How many of you understand race for the grace? Grace for the race after 7 weeks, okay? We did 7 weeks of grace, and grace is everything that God's done for you through Jesus. God's done stuff for you through Jesus. That's grace. Unmerited favor, scandalous grace, empowerment, all right? That's what God has done. So first most important thing I would say is you need to understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he can do in your life and how you work with him in your life. Second thing is you need to understand grace. And the last thing is you need to understand faith. So we're going to tackle faith. All right. You need to understand faith. Write this down if you're taking notes because you are also brilliant. And brilliant people take notes so they can remember they're brilliant. Okay. Ready? Faith receives. Faith receives, grace gives, right? Alrighty, so God is grace and he gave us his grace, unmerited favor and all that stuff, right? All right, but then he gave you faith so you can receive what he's already given you. Alrighty, he can, now, and by the way, you have to exercise this faith. Whoops, whoops, whoops. I'm jumping out of the back of the pants. Whoop, whoop, whoop. All right, let's try hooking this thing in again. All right. Hallelujah. Wow, got yanked on. All right. Here we go. All righty. Now, if faith receives and grace gives, so we should really start, grace gives and faith receives, all righty? So we know that, but we have to do some things with this faith. We have to do some things with this faith. How many of you made a New Year's resolution in January where you're going to go to the gym 3 times a week, right? You're going to start eating better, knock off that soda and the sugar. Anybody do all of that? And now how many of you now do the drive-by? I'm not going there. Matter of fact, I have this friend, so we go, oh, good, we don't. You don't feel like going today? Okay, I'm not going. All right, real easy, all right? But how many of you haven't gone for months since January? Nobody raised their hand? Okay, I did. Now, if you were to say, but Pastor D, I have been exercising. I have been watching and, just really changing and eating healthy. Hey, baby. The proof is in the pudding. You can look at somebody, right? If they're going this way instead of this way, all right, then it wasn't, they weren't doing it, right? Right? Okay. So you can tell those who go and those that don't, right? Right? So now there's a bunch of people like that with faith in the Bible. There's a bunch of people like that. They'll say, oh, Pastor D, I know all those scriptures. Matter of fact, they kind of cut you off at the pass. I was actually at a minister's conference on Thursday, and there was this gentleman, it was at Pastor John Nuzzo's church, and he was teaching 3 points that ministers need to include in their whole church business and all that. And he would go over a scripture, and he'd get the first 2 words out, and this gentleman in the table next to me would cut him off the path and just say it, blah, 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 blah. So the first time I thought, well, that's pretty cute. He knows his Bible. 2 hours later, I wanted to say something. Okay? So we have people that they know all of these scriptures, though. Getting back to going to the gym. We have people that know all of these scriptures, right? But if you know about all these scriptures, you know about faith. And you can say them, but there's not a change. Something's not right. You know, oh, Pastor D, I know all of that. I can quote it. Listen, anybody can read the Bible. And unless you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it says then the scales are dropped from your eyes and your eyes are open and you start receiving and processing. So anybody can read it. Anybody can quote it. There's something missing if there's not change. It's called faith in the Word. Faith in the Word. Okay, so we're not going to be one of those that do the drive-by. All righty. Now, it's real interesting. Let me write this because this is where faith message gets a bad name for itself, okay? And we are a church that preaches faith. I am never ashamed of it, okay? But faith that God gives you, and as you grow in it, is not just for you, me, myself, and I, and the dog. Okay? It is not made just for you. Yet, if when you apply faith to your life, great things happen. But the second most important thing is it's for others. Because otherwise you are that consumer mentality. I want more, gimme, gimme, me. And that's not what God wants. Listen, after you got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, okay, it wasn't about you. It was for the world around you. The same thing with faith. Faith, yes, you have faith, and you're going to grow in faith, and you are going to get blessed by your faith, and you're going to have things change in your life. But folks, it's about others. That's why we say, pray for somebody else. Okay, use your faith to pray for somebody else. Then you're not always looking at yourself. What's the Bible scripture? Pray for one another that you might be healed. Da, 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 da. Okay. All righty. So I had to say that. And this thing is still pulling on the back of my neck. Hold on a second. All right. Okay, good. I can turn both ways. I feel like I was going like this. All right. If you're taking notes, remember, notes help us remember that we are so brilliant. So write this down. Three kinds of faith. We're only going to talk about one of them today. Three kinds of faith. Number one, salvation faith. You got to have that one first, right? Salvation faith. Write that down. Okay? If we don't get saved, we're not going to understand the whole Bible. All right? Praise God. I had a Bible that sat on my shelf and didn't do me any good. So salvation faith. Somebody hears the good news. Somebody hears about how much God loves them. Someone hears how God loved them so much that he knew they were lost and dead and separated, that he sent his only begotten son, that his son Jesus would die for them, pay a price in their debt for them. And then that person hears all of that, right? Hears that. And then they act on that and they receive and accept Jesus. That's salvation faith, all right? Saving faith. Everybody, anybody have that happen in their life? Number two, I'm going to call this basic faith. Or Brother Hagin used to call it general faith. Just, you know, Joe, everybody gets this once you're saved. Basic faith, all right? Basic faith. Basic faith is, Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it moves. Everybody know that? Jesus said, if you have general faith, that's what he was saying, basic faith. If you have that basic faith, you could say to that mountain, move, right? Okay, now he didn't say, if you had great faith, then only you could tell a mountain to move. What did he say? He said, if you had faith, general faith, basic faith, you could talk to that mountain and it would move, all right? So how many of you are thankful that God has given you faith? Man, he's given it to you, okay? All right, so he said, when you have faith, you can move mountains. Maybe you got some mountains in your life that need to just get the heck out of the way. Man, all right. So that means we can believe God. We can believe God and can still do what he said in the word with that basic faith. We can believe God that he can still work in our marriage. We can believe God that he can still, because it says in the word, heal our body just with basic faith. Right? Is that what, right? Right? Everybody with me? Okay. So how do you have basic faith? It comes by the word. It comes by the word, all right? So basic faith. God will put faith in your heart. God will put faith in your heart. And then you believe what he says. Just basic faith. This is a room full of basic faith people, all right? And there might be some great ones back there. But y'all got divvied out a card. The day you received Jesus Christ, you got this basic general faith, all right? And it's not just basic when you think about it, is it? All right? Now, we're going to talk more about that. Let me do the last one. The third one that we're going to just go over is called the gift of faith. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Bible lists the nine gifts of the Spirit. This is one of the nine gifts, the gift of faith. Everybody say gift of faith. I like to call it special faith. It's special faith. All right. And so, I remember when I read that first time, I was like, oh, man, I want that. I wish I had special faith. I wish I had that. OK, but listen, Jesus didn't say that special faith moves mountains. He said, faith. I already have that. All right. And the thing about this gift of faith, it says God gives it out. So you can wish and hope, but it says God gives. And the people that God has gifted with special faith or the gift of faith, it may only happen a few times in their lifetime. All right? But every day I crawl out of bed and go, yay, I have been given faith. And every day, I don't have to wait, is this the day, great faith? No, every day you hop out of bed and you say, I have been given faith, and faith moves mountains. And today I'm going to move mountains with faith, general faith, basic faith, all right? So those are the three kinds of faith. We're just going to work on the one here, all right? Now, let me just say this. There's a whole new generation in the last 20 years, especially the last 10 years in the churches. There's a whole new generation in the last 10 years in churches, and they have been poured out great focus and teaching about grace. And it was about time that grace got looked at again. Because all, like me, grace was unmerited favor. That's all I knew. So, and it's been in the Bible, but God just brought big light through men and women of God, and they just brought this out. And really, if you were to look in the bookstore, we got 24 books about grace, and they all came out in the last 10 years. Now, the interesting thing, people that, this new generation in that time frame, they think grace is the most important thing. Now, I've been around the block about 40 years, okay? And I think faith is the most important thing, okay? But this new generation, they have focused and focused and focused on grace, and they think it's the most important thing. And you think there's a fight going on between grace and faith. God's looking down. Oh, they're so squirrely. I know. All right. Listen, Andrew Womack has a great series. It's called The Balance of Grace and Faith. I think I got that about 5 years ago. Incredible. Take time. It's about that thick. Take, you know, a chapter a day. Just get that out. There is not a fight going on between grace and faith, even though people think that. So interesting, this new generation thinks that God, grace is everything that God did for them. True, but they don't have to do anything. False. Grace is everything that God has done already for them. But they think they don't have to do anything. And that's not true. You need to receive it through faith. You need, so there's a balance between grace and faith. You can't just hold one of the babies and chuck out the bathwater. You got to get both of them. Grace and faith. Grace and faith. Okay? So faith is what receives it, right? If faith is what says it's mine, I take it. Faith. All righty. Now. Turn over to Romans, would you all, to Romans 5. Romans 5, 1 and 2. All right. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Say glory when you find it. Glory. I put stickers up here. It's just so easy, you know. All right. And if Lane puts it up there, you can say glory, glory, hallelujah. All righty. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified or made right, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there, you should be able to go to bed at night and sleep like a baby. You have trouble sleeping at night? You go read that. I have peace. I'm going to sleep peacefully because I have been made right with God through Jesus. Okay. Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. All right. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace. What he's saying is faith gets you in the door to the grace. That's that access. All right. So I have two double doors up there. They get locked. And then come Sunday morning, it's either Mark or me. We come in and we unlock this building, and you can have access into this building. You can have access into everything that God has done. All right. So you have access to everything God has done through faith. All right. Now, object lesson. My friend, Pastor Mike, did this years ago. It has stuck with me for zillions of years. Grace is like a pie. Grace is like a pie, and it's been sliced into portions so you can have one. Somebody's already had one, all right? So grace is like this pie that God has made for us, all right? And these slices represent what God has given to us. This slice here is a slice of healing that God has already given to us. This one is financial blessings that God has already given to us. Oh, Pastor D, I don't believe in all that blessing stuff. Well, good, I'm eating this pie. You're really dumb. All right. Listen, God is called Father. He's the best Father. He is Father God, and He likes to bless His kids. So who wants a piece of this one? Yeah. So we're smarter than a fifth grader, right? Okay. Amen. So God has grace prepared for us. But how do you get one of those slices? Through faith. You have to receive it. All right. So if you're just walking around and looking at this piece, this pie, all right, you have to get that little scooper out. All right. And that's through faith. So we have access to grace through faith. That's what scripture meant. All right. So, how about if you don't get your little scooper out, then you don't get a slice of pie. So there's a lot of blessings that have been given, all right? But you have to, oh, I know who you are. Hi. Praise the Lord. So cool. Go say hello later. All right. All right. Okay. Focus D, Pastor D. Okay. Where am I? All right. So those slices of grace have been given, poured out to us, but you have accessed them through faith. Amen. All right. So if you don't get any of them, it's because you didn't reach out and take it. You can talk about it. You can quote it, but you will take faith to get it. It'll take the faith that God's already given it to. Okay. Everybody know 2 Corinthians 5:17? Bible. All right. Look it up. Look it up. Look it up. I get around these pastors and they just spout off any, like, Pastor D, you know, like Romans 12:6. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know that. What, are you kidding me? I have not memorized this whole Bible yet. I'm working on it. All right. So 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, y'all knew that. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, there's a whole bunch of scriptures in the New Testament that say the exact same thing. Lane's going to pop them up. One of them you can scribble down, look it up later. Romans 1:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, and Habakkuk, whatever that, can't say that. 2:4 is Old Testament, and it says, listen, the just shall live by faith. So guess what? You guys, there's a walk in faith going on. The day you accepted Jesus Christ, you got into this walk of faith, right? I'm walking by faith. Everybody say that. I walk by faith. All right. I walk by faith. Now, how many of you have been made right with God? How many of you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That means you were made right with God. That verse we just read before, okay? So if you have been made right with God, then you're supposed to walk by faith. I'm just putting 1 + 1. I come up with 2. How about you? 1, okay? So if you have accepted, you've been made born again, you're supposed to walk by faith. Oh, I don't believe in any of that faith stuff. Well, you're plain old dumb. All right? We are to walk in faith. That's the life we've been called to. All right. Now all of us came out of this different system, right? Now we're in the new system, right? This old system also, besides operating in fear, operated by the 5 senses. Anything I could see, I believed. Anything I could smell, I believed. Anything I heard, I believed. Anything I touched, I believed. You get into this new system that God has for you. You're in this new kingdom, this new system. And there is not just 5 senses going on. There's a 6th one. It's faith. Faith. And faith is, there are times your eyes are going to see something and God's word says something else, and I'm going to believe what God says. There are times you're going to hear something. There's times you're going to feel something on your body. And faith says, I'm not going to go by that. I'm going to go by what God's word says. All right? Because I have a 6th sense. I think mothers have a 7th sense. I'll tell you what. I used to tell Cass, that kid gave me a run for the money junior year. Whole baby. Okay, that's when I used to color my hair every 2 months. I went to coloring it every 4 weeks. But I would tell Cass, I said, oh, God plays favorites with mamas. I have another sense besides the sixth one. I said, it is God. Tell me what you're doing. How'd you know that? I said, because God plays favorites with it. It gives me another sense. Oh, my gosh. But Cassie is gloriously serving the Lord. She is gloriously serving the Lord. She is faithful in a church. She's actually an assistant to the pastor. Besides working a full-time job as a nurse, So listen, you start speaking over your kids when those dark days. They're not going to come to your kids. But if by chance one would show up on your doorstep, you start saying what God says about your kids, and He is so faithful to turn those things around. That was faith. I'm going to tell you, she is. Oh my gosh, she's just crazy. Crazy wonderful. Okay. So what happens when you have these situations happen in your life? Oh my gosh, the Cassie. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It doesn't mean you're a bad person or you're weak in faith when all those things start flying. Okay. It just means there's an attack coming and God gave you faith to walk through it. To get to the other side, all right? So okay. Now, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I want to say one more thing. We walk by faith and not by sight, so we don't ignore, oh, man, the stinker. Every time I go up the stairs, the things, okay. You don't ignore a symptom. Jesse and I were flicking around the TVs last week, and there was a special, I don't know if you call it documentary, whatever you call that word. It was on Jim Henderson. Anybody know with him? Or he's the Muppet guy. Is it Henderson? Henson? One, Henderson was a guy. The other one? Okay. Okay. It's two different ones. Okay. Henson, right? He created the Muppets, Sesame, Fraggle Rock. I love Fraggle Rock. So we were watching this. And it was really interesting, the story of his life. Only thing, he died early. Now, the interesting thing about that part is his mother was, what do they call it, Christian Science? They don't, scientists? Yep. Nope, it was Christian Science, the old one. Okay. But anyway, they have some funky beliefs, and actually they ignore the symptom. They ignore the symptom, and he just wasn't feeling good. He got sick, he got coughing, and he just felt worse and worse, and he kept ignoring it. And at one point, he was ready to collapse. He calls his wife, and, just a little trivia. They had already signed papers for divorce, and who does he call? The woman he loves. Okay, he's just dumb. Okay. All right, this is a silly thing. Okay, so he calls her, and she takes one look at him, throws him into the hospital, and in an hour, he was dead at a young age. Okay, and the doctor said if he would not have ignored the symptom, he'd be alive. If he would have just not ignored it and got here 3 hours early, listen, what all he needed was penicillin. All right, guys. I have ignored symptoms, and then I got smart, and I don't ignore the symptoms, and I do go to doctors. Yep, he's a great guy. I try not to see him, but I do go to doctors, and I still have to apply faith when I go to the doctors. Matter of fact, you probably have to apply more faith because you flip that thing that they give you on the back and read this causes this, okay? That's, I think, great faith hops in there, okay? But faith is growing. Okay, I don't want to bury you because you got ignored something. All right, don't ignore it. Deal with it where your level of faith is growing. Call people up and say, "Hey, listen, I'm really struggling with this," and we'll pray as we go, and we'll keep growing. All right. So I just wanted to say that thing about don't ignore things. Okay. Now, said all that. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Most of you could probably quote it doing a cartwheel. So get out in the aisle and do some cartwheels for me. But the rest of you, let's open it up. All right? Open it up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Praise God. You know, when things hit our life, we need to get over into faith. When things hit our life, we need to get over into what God said instead of what I'm seeing. Okay, when things hit our life, we need to get over what God says instead of what I might be feeling. Okay, that's getting over into faith. All righty, now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. All righty. Let's get the Word of God's definition on faith. A lot of people have a definition of faith, but this is it right here. It's written right here in black and white. Here we go. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. First time I heard that, we're out in Tulsa, and I was like, what the heck are they talking about? And that's all they talked about. And I'd listen to this. So then I started getting some different Bible translations. I went for the Easy Reader, because I had a King James, thee and thous and thuses, all right? So I started, and Jack just was in love with translations, all right? So I started getting different translations. One of them is the Phillips, and they're going to pop that up. This one says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for and being certain of things we cannot see. See that word confidence? Ooh, that's good. Confidence, putting our confidence. And look at the other one, being certain. All right, that's what faith. So that's some elements of faith, okay? So I want to talk a little bit about hope. It says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. Anybody ever hope for some things? I have a list on the side of the refrigerator. It's called my honey-do list. I'm hoping they're all going to get done, okay? But really, have you ever hoped for some things? Okay, all right. But hope means our confident expectation. You should write that down. Hope means our confident expectation. Our confident expectation. Something you're expecting. Hope, like I'm hoping, okay? I'm confident, but listen to the key word, confident expectation. Now in the world, people go, oh, I hope things are going to get better. They might get better. Is that confident? I don't think so. You know, I just kind of hope that that the Lord heals me. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, maybe I die. Is that confident? Of course not, okay? There's no confidence in that, right? There's no confidence in that, is it? Is that, oh, I just kind of hope, maybe, you know, maybe, whatever, okay. You're not going to get healed with, oh, well, maybe the Lord healed, maybe he's not, maybe I'll die. You're not going to get healed. You're not going to experience what God has for you if that's what your hope is, all right? But that's not real hope. Real hope is a confident expectation, all right? So now I'm not knocking down hope, because next week we're going to talk about it. And hope is really a beginning part. The thing about hope is you have to know where it is in the position of receiving, okay? It should be in the front, but the center should be faith. Hope needs to be in the front of the line, but the center needs to be faith. So we'll talk more about that next week, because I just gave it away. All right, so hope is vital, all righty? Let me read this expanded Bible translation. Lane, if you'd put that up. Bing. Is that one the heart? Okay. So hope is vital, all right? And we don't dislike it. It just needs a proper place. I'm just reading my notes. Say when? When? Okay, here we go. This is from the Expanded Bible Translation. That means they put about 75 words in there. And I found every word I liked. So this is why I did this one. Faith means being sure. Faith means being sure, okay? The assurance or the tangible reality or the sure foundation of things hoped for. Right? Hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we don't see it. Ooh, knowing it's real, even if we don't see it. Okay. And then it says the conviction, assurance, evidence of things not seen. All right, guys, everything here today, there was a point when it was not seen. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, right? Okay. Everything here, there was a point that it wasn't seen. And then God came on the scene and he spoke things and it became real. So there, first there's a not seen, and then faith says, I'm going to believe what's not seen because I know there's something really real. I know it's real, even though I don't see it. Faith is, I know it's real, even if I don't see it. And that's how God operates. That's how faith operates. Faith says, listen, it takes what's not seen and it receives it as real. It takes what's not seen and receives it as real. So those things that I'm hoping for, I'm going to take what's not seen and I'm going to receive them as real. That's faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. All right. Now, everybody know about Abraham. You'll probably find him in the book of Romans, but Romans 4, Abraham. Abraham says he called things that be not as though they were. That was what he just did, right? Abraham called things that be not as though they just were. Okay, now, Abraham at one point had no kids. By the way, his name was Abram. Abram there. He had no kids, no babies, right? And God comes along and he says, Abram, I'm going to change your name. Okay? It's not a nickname. I am going to change your name to Abraham. And it means the father of many nations. God was operating faith. Now, Abraham says, like most kids, I don't like that name. Just call me whatever. All right? He didn't. God said, listen, your name is the father of many nations. And Abraham wanted a seed. So he said, my name is Abraham. And I could just imagine everybody giving him a hard time. No, it's not. It's Abram. No, God gave me a name. It's Abraham. Say that. Spell that. My name's Abraham. It means father of many nations. And every time he said that, he was saying what he could not see. Faith. Pretty simple, right? Faith. Pretty simple, all right? So why am I telling you this? Because you are going to have things happen in your life and you are going to have to say things, pray things, speak things that you don't see, and you're going to say what God says, right? How many of you have got some things going on in your life and you want them to change? Well, you're going to have to say and speak what God says, all right, in order for them to change. That was Abraham. He's going to be fun to meet in heaven, I'm telling you. All right, now, it's the world, when you start saying that to the world, and you have to be careful what you say to people. I don't have to show my faith for the world, okay? But, you know, if they get a whiff of you, they're going to think you're off the chart, all right? That's because they operate in a different system, all right? They're operating in a different system. You operate in this system. That's okay. And really, I say this in all seriousness, you don't have to blab your faith to everybody. That's not who you're saying it for. You're saying it for yourself, all right? And I've had some doctors about ready to, oh man, one just got so ticked. But a year later, he said, well, I guess your God did something. I was like, spit it out. That was it. All right. So he saw the end result of walking in faith. But anyway, so I just say that so you don't get, anyway, here we go. Watch what you say, Pastor D. All right, so this world operates over here in a different system. We operate over here in this system, faith. The world operates over here in fear and doubt. And listen, you see it all the time, especially right now. It's going into fall and then to winter. And all the commercials are about Mucinex and whatever, Nunny Pots or whatever they're called. You know? Okay? Listen, so what is it? They're like, oh, the flu season is coming. You need to stock up on this. The cold season's coming. You need to stock up on this. Next thing you know, you're pushing your cart down at Walmart, and there's that big display in the middle of the aisle. I can barely get my cart through. Yeah. All right, and then I look up, Mucinex. Oh, I should probably get that because, you know, the cold season is coming. All right, that system tries to motivate you. And if you're not smarter than a fifth grade, you're going to take one of those off. God bless you. Don't go to this. Okay. So they're trying to motivate you, aren't they? The world tries to motivate you to go down in fear. All right. Listen, but God, everybody say, but God, I love it. But my God says something different. So I'm going to go like this with God. Hey, listen, God, you know, for the last 10 years, Right about now, it's ragweed season, and I get this sinus infection and snot's pawing out. So, you know, God, I am going to trust you because I live in this new system. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to say your word. And you can do what you have to do, God, but I am going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I am going to say what you say. And I thank you that I am not going to get this allergies and sinus infection this year because I am trusting in you. Okay, I have just departed from this over to here. And that's that walk of faith. Okay, it's what I believe. And I believe what God says. That's real simple. All right, faith is simple. I don't know why I got stumbled over Hebrews 11 for so long, but faith is really simple. Everybody say, faith is simple. Faith is simple. Okay, how are we doing? Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. I need faith to finish up here. Okay, Hebrews 12:2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. For by it. Do you know what the it is? Faith. For by faith, the elders, those are all the guys in chapter 10. So all the guys in chapter 10 obtained a faith. Excuse me. By faith, they obtained a good report. All those guys in chapter 10, by faith, got a good report. All righty. So this is what God's looking for. He's looking for you to take hold of faith and walk it out. And then when you get to heaven, you get a good report card. Who remembers report cards? Man, one of my kids, no names meant, would get home before me and hide them. It was the one that was the last born because I didn't know all about that. You know, didn't know when they were coming. Okay. Okay, report cards. So this is really like this. So by faith, the elders obtain a good report card. When they got to heaven, when I get to heaven, I want to get a good report card. Now, how many of you ever had a teacher that gave an open book test? Hallelujah. You love those babies. I really think they just got lazy and they did that or whatever. Okay. Now, why am I saying that? Is God says in life, you're going to have a whole bunch of tests. It's just life. Life chucks, what'd we say? Hurdles. There's hurdles and obstacles that come in the race of life. We've talked about that. And it's a test. They're just tests that we go through life, right? God says by this scripture, you can have an open book test through the things you're going through. You get to find, okay, you're going through something. You hit this hurdle, this obstacle, this test in this part of my life. And God says, you get an open book test. Right? You can go to the scriptures. Okay, we are just like killing each other in our marriage. And this is a test. And God says, open book test. Go find scriptures in Ephesians and start saying them. All right? Now, this is why many Christians fail. They don't ever open the book. All right? You're going to flunk the test. Open the book, right? Everybody say, open book test. Goody, goody, goody. My college kids are like, yes, I love that open book test. Okay. All righty. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6 real quick. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Oh, say that with me. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, okay? For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That whole scripture is like a month worth of preaching. But one other translation says, no one can please God without faith. No one can please God without faith. So I used to tell my kids, you know, it's Saturday, we have a family meeting first. That was hysterical. And they read their Bibles. They said we were the Nazi Christians because we made them read their Bibles and underline, I don't give a darn. Wait till they have kids. Okay. And then we talk about all the things we were going to do. We'd plan a day. But we said, in order to do the day event, you have to do some chores. Okay. And then when the kid finished their chores, they'd come like, they wanted to please us. All right. They're like, Look, mommy, look, look. I didn't shove all the toys under my bed. You know, I actually put them away. All right. So by nature, we want to please, right? So it says, oh, no one can please God. I want to please God without. Okay. No one can please God without. All right. So you can't please God without. Oh, I don't like that faith message. No one can please God without faith. God says that. You can't please me without faith. Okay. So I think we should do everything we can to learn about faith. You can't please God without faith. That should be a big part of your studying about faith, because it pleases God. I love my daddy. I want to please him. I want to be the favorite. We're all favorites. Okay. All right. So wrapping up, I want to give you three of the most important things you need to know about faith. Oh, Jesus, I'm talking fast. Hallelujah. Okay. Number one, three of the most important things you need to know about faith. Okay. What faith is? Well, we just sort of read it. Faith is what you believe. Faith is simply what you believe. Okay. What you're convinced of, what you're convicted of, what you're persuaded of. All right. Now, are you convinced that God exists? Faith. Pastor D, it's so simple. Are you convinced that God exists? Then you have faith, all right? Are you convinced that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Then you have faith, because I also read that scripture. I believe that, all right? So how many of you believe that God exists? Then you have faith. All right. Now, the second part of that scripture is, if I believe that if I seek him, he'll reward me. All right. All right. All those things go together and it makes faith. You have faith. Faith's pretty simple. Amen. All right. The Greek word where it says, if you seek him, it means if you seek him, there's a payday. Now, I'm not talking about money, but when you seek God, you get diligent in reading your word and getting quiet. There's a payday. Who likes payday? Payday around here is Wednesday. I love payday. Direct deposit. Bing. Okay. Okay. As you seek him, direct deposit. I love it. If you don't love it, put it in mine. I'll give you the direct deposit. All right. Praise God. All right. So you need to know three most important things. What faith is. Second one, how faith comes. Everybody knows that. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans, right? Romans 10:17. So how does faith come? Does faith come by CNN? Faith come by Facebook? Yeah, I know. I suckered into that thing. Poof, an hour goes by. All right. Faith comes by the word. Yeah. Okay. So faith comes by the word. All right. Faith comes by the word of God. Everybody say, faith comes by the word of God. All right. So if you're listening to CNN, if you're listening to also certain preachers, okay, and they're all about doom and gloom. Now, just everybody say, I love you, Pastor D. But if you're listening to all this blood moon stuff and you have just stocked up your basement in water and you are expecting disaster. I already did that. And what was that? 2000. Not doing it this time. You know why? Because all of that's fear. Now, it doesn't mean I don't read this and I don't study it, but I haven't done it. It's on my list. It's on my coffee table. I'm going to read all this stuff. Okay? But if you're running around stocking up in your basement and buying a zillion things of water and stuff, you're in fear. And listen, you read the epistles. All through the epistles, God says, I will take care of my people. All right? I will protect. I will provide. He's called provider. All right? All right. Still love me? Here we go. All right. I'm going to read that book one of these days, okay? So faith comes every time you read this. You meditate on this. Faith comes every time you show up at church and I'm preaching the word. Okay? That's faith comes through the word, right? All right? Amen. Faith comes by hearing the word. How does fear come? By hearing fear and all that garbage over and over and over. That's why I can't listen to the news that long. I was like, click. Okay? Now I gotta get my Bible out. All righty? Okay, last most important thing about faith is how to release it. You can know all the stuff about what faith is, right? How faith comes. But if you don't know how to release it, it's not going to benefit you. You can have read every book Brother Hagin wrote on faith, okay? But unless you know how to release it, it doesn't benefit you. So this is really the most important thing. How to release it, okay? How to release it. Everybody turn to Mark 11:23, last scripture. Okay, now I know you know this, okay, but it's good. It is always good. Now, first off, I have a red letter Bible. In Mark 11:23, who says it? Jesus. Well, I don't believe in that faith stuff. Well, then you don't love the Lord Jesus. He said this. All right, it's a little extreme. I'm sorry. Okay, but Jesus said this. Okay, Jesus said this. This is red. All right. Mark 11:23. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Okay? He will have whatever he says. That last part's kind of crazy. You can have what you say. That's off the chart. I like that chart, right? All right, so he's simply saying, listen. Whoever says to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, right? What else does it say? Doesn't doubt in his heart. Believes what he says. You can have what you say. Oh, Pastor Dan, I don't believe any of that stuff. All right, checkup time. Listen to this. You have everything you have been saying for the last 10 years. Think about it. What have you been saying for the last 10 years? You got it, right? Well, I just, you know, okay. We'll never have enough money to put four kids through college. This is when Sherry was one day old. No, I couldn't have been that because we only had one. By the time I had the fourth one, I was like, oh, we'll never have enough money to put kids through college. We'll never have enough money to put kids through college. Okay, the first kid came to college time. We didn't have any money. And I thought, whoa, you can have what you say. And then I started to say, my kids walk in excellence. They ought to pay my kids to have them at their school. That's called what? Scholarships. My kids got scholarships. All right? So who you are today, what you are today, is all from yesterday. And I had to change. All right? I still catch myself. I'm like, that was stupid. Did you hear what you just said? And then I have people that tell me, that was stupid. Did you hear what you just said? Okay. And I appreciate that. All right. Keith Moore, anybody know who Keith Moore is? He's out in Missouri. Super Bible teacher, pastor, taught at Rhema's prayer and healing school. He made this quote. When it comes to faith, you cannot leave up to God what he left up to you. Okay. You cannot leave up to God what he left up for you to do. What? Okay. All right. God has forgiven everybody that is born or will ever be born their sins. Jesus died on the cross. He forgave everybody their sins, right? Okay. But that's what God's done. But they have a part to pay. Play. Number one, you need to tell them the good news. How will they know unless someone tells them? Okay, they need to hear it, and then they need to believe it and receive it. That's our part, all right? So I'm going to say that one again. That's so good. You cannot leave up to God what he left up for you, okay? So if you're a Christian and you've been hearing the word, then you have something to do with it. You've been hearing the word, but you have something to do with it, okay? Your kids are a mess. You need to hear the word, and then you have to do something with it. So I, you know, stop saying, my kids are driving me crazy. I hear, oh you want to push Pastor D over the, my kids are so bad. Kids aren't bad. You just didn't train them. There's no bad kid. God made me cry, okay? Stop saying that stuff. We just got to train them. And we train them, and we train them, and we train them. And then you marry them, and you're still training them. Okay. Okay. Pick up your Hang up your keys. Put your underwear away. All right. In the gospel, this is my last story. In the gospel, there are 19 accounts of healing. Trivia for a moment. Not counting the multitudes, okay? But in the New Testament, in the gospels, there's 19 accounts of healing. All right? 10 of them, Jesus said to that person, "Your faith has made you whole." 3 of them, he inferred that their faith made them whole. So 13 out of 19 says faith is pretty important. 13 out of 19 accounts of healing had to do with your faith. Now, I really like just what God, just drop it, do it, miracles, okay? But 13 out of 19 said your faith, okay? Now, you could go, "Oh my gosh, that's a lot of responsibility." Okay, listen, faith is simple. It's what you believe. Faith is simple. It's what you believe. Faith is simple. It's what you believe. Okay? And then the rest is up to God. You know, then that's what God steps in. My job is to believe it. All right? All righty. Ah, okay, homework assignment, because I love this as a teacher in me. Homework, here we go. Here we go. Tomorrow and every day for 1 week. Can you raise your hand? You're going to do your homework. If not, you could do not get a gold star. Okay, starting tomorrow, every day for a whole week, you are to feed in the Gospels, on the New Testament, okay? Because if you want to read some, oh, Pastor D, I don't have a lot of time. Short, ready? 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, real short, okay? So if you, so every day, read one chapter. Go to if you want to read the short ones, and besides love, faith works by love, that would be a good place to start. Okay, every day, feed. Don't read Leviticus. New Testament, all right, feed, all right, because what you're doing is you're feeding your faith, and next week when you walk in the door, faith is walking in, all right, so I won't ask who didn't read and feed today, but faith is going to walk in, all right. Why am I doing this? I'm trying to help you grow in faith, not only for you, because I need you to straighten up your act, but so you can help others, guys. You can help others. Your faith. You should be able to walk up and just walk up into somebody and you know, just get a conversation going when you see them at the grocery store and say, "Michelle, what's going on?" That's all right. Give me your hand. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray in faith. When Joe walks into your workplace and, man, he looks like he is just, you can say, "What's going on, Joe?" And he'll open up and you say, "That's right. We're going to pray. We're going to let God move in your life." You can't pray that unless you've got faith fed on. All right, so that's why we're doing this. Amen? Oh, crud. Don't look at the clock. Jeez. All right. How about, let's close your eyes so I can't even look at you. And everybody, don't turn around here. Fine. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word has just increased our faith because it's been nothing but the word. I thank you, Father. I see great faith and greater faith and growing faith, Father, and solid faith in your people. And I thank you, Father, they are sent to the world. Father, they are anointed to go and change the world through faith, Father, in you. Okay, eyes closed. If there's anybody here and you have never made a commitment, you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, you have never become a part of this wonderful family, in this new system, in this faith and love family, today's the day. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Harden not your heart, because someday you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he'd like to say, "Well done, enter in." But if you're here and you'd say, "Pastor D, I have never accepted Jesus and I would like him into my life. I would like to be a part of this family." Would you raise your hand? Yeah, I'm not going to make you come up here. Just raise your hand. Okay. Is there anybody here? Anybody here? Okay. Anybody here? Anybody here say, "Pastor D, I have just put God on a shelf for a decade. And today I heard and I want to come back." Well, it's real easy. You just say, "Lord, you know, raise your hand and we'll pray with you." Just simply say, "Lord, I have been departed." And you just confess and then you just say, I'm back. I'm back and I'm in full glory. Anybody here? Okay. Praise God. All right, folks. Faith. Isn't it wonderful? Faith is wonderful. All right. You are blessed going in, blessed going out. Everything you set your hand to, you prosper in. You are the head and not the tail. Amen. That's faith, right? Go and have a good faith day. Hallelujah.